Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. It is Friday, right before Labor Day. What are we doing here? That's the big question. No, I'm just kidding. I want to thank you for listening to Drive Through HR. We're going to have a fantastic show. And we're really going to kind of focus in on IREM, a wonderful organization, really at the center of IT, HR, and all things technology for the last 20 years or so. And they've got a conference coming up in Atlanta. We want to kind of talk a little bit about that with Tracy. So, Tracy, do us a favor. First of all, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, William?
See? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's a little hot down here. Other than that, doing okay. You know, if you live in Texas, it gets hot. Turns out that's kind of what happens here. do us a favor and introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Well, I'm Tracy King. I'm the Director of Education for IREM, and I'm excited to be here today. IREM is celebrating its 35th anniversary this year, believe it. And we are putting together an amazing conference experience, unlike any that IREM has facilitated before. So I'm excited to talk to you a little bit more about that and how that, you know, was just a launching pad for IREM in 2016.
Well, that's fantastic. How long have you been with IREM, and what was your path? How did you come to IREM?
I joined IREM just this past spring, so I'm brand new and super excited to work with IS professionals. The prior association I worked for is the American Academy of Neurology, and it oversaw all of the hybrid and e-learning opportunities that they offer to their super huge membership of neurologists across the country and the world. But I'm just really excited about the opportunity to work in this tech space. I love technology, and education technology has been a passion of mine for years. And so working with professionals that are in it day to day, they're all about it, is quite inspiring for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you kind of came out at the space from a learning or e-learning or LMS perspective. So you kind of came at it from that perspective and found yourself in an entire industry that does that, as well as all these other cool things. So, too funny.
Exactly.
What was your first ed tech or LMS that you used?
Back in the day, once upon a time, when I was a professor of communication, my first LMS was Blackboard. It was Blackboard, we used Moodle, and then at the Academy, they were using proprietary software, and so now it's really exciting because I'm actually, you know, being in the IS space and in the tech space, it's fun to meet all of the LMS providers for corporations, because IREM is going to be in the market for a new LMS next year, so it's fun to network in that space.
Wow, so you're a shopper. You're going to be a buyer of sorts of these
technologies. I know.
That's exciting. Awesome.
My background is in content strategy and content design, and like I said, I just love the intersection of education and technology, and so talking with those LMS providers that will be at our conference is going to be a highlight for me.
Oh, I was about to say, and you'll probably spend some time in the expo hall checking out some of the new products. That's cool. I actually like that. What's top of mind for you these days? What's kind of keeping you up at night, if anything is keeping you up? What's keeping you up these days?
You know, one of the questions that we're going to ask at our conference is something that keeps us and our members up at night, and that's, you know, with the promise of technology, it, you know, promises to really advance us, to advance the decision-making for our corporations, to advance our industry, but we're not quite as far into the future as we thought we would be. So why is that? What are those barriers? And what's required for us to overcome those barriers? And that's going to be a theme that attendees of our annual conference are going to encounter, and we're really going to get nitty-gritty of that, especially at the thought leader panel on Friday.
Yeah, it assumes that you can be vulnerable, right? I mean, if you're asking people what's the promise of tech, some of it's going to be on the technology and either not understanding what we bought and all that other type of stuff, or understanding data. But some of it's also being vulnerable with maybe the expectation was too big. Maybe we expected too much out of technology, and it wasn't necessarily the vendor's fault or any other fault of anybody else other than we just had crazy expectations.
Exactly. And, you know, how many of us are bringing our old human processes to technology, and we're not maximizing that opportunity. There's so many areas that we can get into the nitty-gritty about and really try to press forward, just lean our shoulder into, you know, more efficient ways to use technology to advance our organization. So I'm really excited about that discussion. I'm excited to learn about what the professionals and thought leaders in this space think about that and what kinds of questions are they hearing and, you know, what challenges are they hearing rumbling in the industry? And, you know, it goes back to the theme of how we learn from failure, right? How, you know, we learn from our frustrations, and that causes us to innovate, and that causes us to reevaluate and to be, you know, to apply some ingenuity to new solutions.
Yeah, it's funny when John and I did a major study on successful implementations. One of the things we found, and it kind of shocked us on some levels, is that projects that were switch. So let's say you have a global payroll solution, and you just switched it out. You got tired of one solution or whatever for whatever reason. You just switched. Those types of projects had a much less success rate than when the project was transformational. So take the exact same scenario, global payroll provider, you're switching it out, but now you look at your process, your underpinnings of your process and the outcomes and technology, those projects had a much higher, like 87% chance of success rate. So it's like you look at that and when you're just switching out technologies, going from A to B, you think that you'd be successful, but everything has to be questioned when you're doing that, because you can put inferior technology, or at least the belief is, you can put inferior technology on a superior process, but you can't do the opposite.
What those objectives are, right? And not just by the shiniest new toy, but the tech that will get you where you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually quite amazing. I'm really looking forward. Are y'all going to bubble up, or the learnings that you get through this process of the promise of tech, what it is, what to do, how to recover from it, et cetera? Is there any sense that you're going to kind of bubble that up and bring that back out to the larger audience?
Yes, absolutely. So that's, you know, kind of a new initiative that we're doing with IRM is, and IRM Education is, you know, our conference isn't just a standalone event anymore. We started actually last month with a preview webinar of one of the sessions. It's going to be really challenging. There's a session by Clinton Wingrove on the extinction of dinosaurs and just predicting what it's going to take to remain relevant and profitable in the future with our application of tech. And he's going to continue that conversation at the conference. And then after the conference, we're going to be bringing some best of forward in our webinar series as well. From this thought leader panel, we're going to extend that conversation in a webinar and create a white paper about some of our learning and some of those questions that we want to continue to think about and address. And, you know, as an educator, I'm excited to know what kind of kernel can we draw from that session that we can create new programming around, because we're certainly going to hit some of the, you know, the pain points of what it means to practice in this space. So absolutely, we're going to be bringing forward some of our learnings in the white paper and webinars and in future education programming at IRM.
Nice. Well, what are you excited about? So the conference is coming up. This is obviously going to be your first IRM. It's in Atlanta. What's the dates of the conference?
September 16 to 19.
16th to 19th, do we have a hashtag?
We do. It's IRM ETC, Education, ETC. Technology, and Community.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So those that aren't going, please make sure to follow that hashtag. We're on the run-up to the conference and definitely at conference. So what's exciting for you here now that you're looking? You're days away from the conference. What's exciting for you?
Well, I love that this conference is tech forward, and we've really been creating an amazing experience. Not, you know, IRM as it has been, it's going to be a really amazing tech-forward, leaning-in type of experience. And what I mean by that is we're kicking off with Greg Williams, who is the deputy editor of Wired. And he's an authority on tech trends and how they affect business. And he's going to be talking about disruptors that influence employees' expectations when they come to our workplaces, communication that takes place in the workplace, and how technology is disrupting business practices. It's really painting the picture of here's the context that we're working in and here's the challenges to you professionals as, you know, you're implementing technology that manages these huge corporations day to day. And then on our Friday morning, that thought leader panel that I was talking about, Jason Averbrook and this amazing panel that we've assembled with Stacey Harris and Lisa Rowan and Catherine Jones are going to take that conversation to our workplaces. And they're going to talk about the nitty-gritty, where the boots hit the ground, and just bring it to the day-to-day of the industry to talk about what's preventing us from having the effective impact on business outcomes that we expect and what are the common barriers that we're facing and how do we overcome those, not only individually but as a community. And so really excited, as you know, we've been chatting about, to hear what comes out of that. And then this is something I'm super excited about. ILM is really excited and dedicated about attracting new technology to our conference, introducing new technology to our members. And we're doing that this year in a fun format. We've been calling it the Incubator. And the Incubator is a special place in our exhibit hall for new tech companies. And our technology committee has been interviewing and vetting new tech so that we can bring forward the best to our members at this conference. And there's going to be a couple of Shark Tank-style presentations where representatives from these new tech companies can come forward and say a word about the solution that they're offering and the innovations that they're bringing to this space. So I'm super excited to see what those 10 companies that have been selected present. And, you know, how our members really appreciate the opportunity to really focus on what's new and innovative and on the, you know, leading edge of the tech space. Now that, you know, is a, you know, broad strokes about how we're really making this a tech-forward conference. But, you know, a lot of the people that come to IRM Annual, they're there to network with their peers. And they're there because they know the education that they're going to receive is going to take them to the next level of their careers. So this is by peers and for peers. It's practitioner-centric. And this year, our education program has been vetted by a committee of practitioners, and they've, you know, sought to put together a balanced program from a variety of topics that I, as professionals, need to succeed. And so I'm really excited to see, you know, how our attendees really enjoy those experiences and the opportunities to interact with one another and really the industry leaders who will be presenting at those education sessions. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Tell me, you've said IS and IT a couple of times, and the audience might not understand that y'all have a kind of a history, a wonderful heritage of actually blending the interest of both the technology people at work and the HR people at work. So what does that look like for y'all? What is that? There is still a lot of people with the titles HR, IT, HRIS. So take us into that world. Like, y'all are actually dealing with both the technology professionals, the CIOs, CTOs, and you know, all the way through the ranks, and then the HR professionals, CHROs, et cetera. So take us into the world of who you serve.
Absolutely. You know, this is an exciting space because it's different for different organizations. There are some organizations that are HR division of one, and they make all the technology decisions for their organization. And then there are other huge corporations with, you know, large teams that can focus on individual IS solutions. And so we deal with the breadth. And, you know, technology, those who focus their careers on technology are partners with the HR professionals. And together, they have the opportunity to use technology as a tool to make better decisions for their corporation, you know, when it comes to analytics, to build better long-term relationships with employees, to make benefits accessible to their employees, to train their workforces to be more efficient and effective at their jobs, and, you know, to gain the satisfaction from developing their skills. And so those who are, you know, HR generalists and those who specialize in this IS space are really partners. And sometimes, like I said, depending on how large the organization is, they're one person. But really what we focus on is how do we use technology to make better decisions? That's the fundamental premise of this profession.
And I know that obviously there's been a lot of changes at IRM over the last probably 12 months or so. You're in there with a new team, kind of a new vision, if you will. If there is kind of an old IRM, new IRM kind of a mantra, and again, I'm making that up, but if there is that, what is that for y'all?
You know, I think that we can see the new IRM as just an evolution. It's not that there was a, you know, poor IRM and, you know, we had to create a new IRM. We're the same IRM. We're the same robust community. We're just evolving and we're growing and we're building new relationships and we're being very considerate about how we deliver education to really advance the profession and how we can advocate for the profession. So the new IRM, you know, I've got my air quotes going. It's just really about taking it to the next level and about being the thought leader in the space, about driving innovation and, you know, introducing technology to our practitioners who need it in their day-to-day.
And where do y'all look for inspiration? Like who out there in the kind of the ecosystem, do you look at SHRM? Do you look at the HR Technology Conference? Do you look at ERE? Do you look out there and see how people are doing it well or how they're fostering community or how they're kind of advancing discussions? Like where do y'all go for inspiration?
We go to our members and we go to the consultants in the space that, you know, a lot of the consultants touch most of these organizations, but they're on the leading edge of what's happening. And the board of IRM has an initiative to craft a group filled with these thought leaders that can help guide the ship so that we're providing insights from the leading edge of where innovation is happening. You know, another core of IRM and the community, what this community provides is it goes back to understanding what's happening across the industry and sharing the insights that come from our challenges and come from overcoming obstacles. And so that is another place where we get our inspiration and where we're seeking, you know, what are the new solutions and what are the nuggets of practice that this community can benefit from. We, you know, partner with SHRM on delivering content in the tech space and, you know, have a lot of key relationships with other organizations in the HR and technology space and are proud to work with other organizations. But I would have to say, I know my inspiration comes from our members, but I would believe that the IRM as an organization is also looking to its members to tell us what they need and where that leading edge is.
I really like that. I really like that. Not just the answer. I really like that, you know, at the end of the day, if you have a membership and you have a community, you know, don't stray too far. Ask them what they need, what's inspiring to them, and then go do it.
Exactly.
Shocking. How do you, so first of all, as you put together a show and you're thinking about what people want to learn from, and so some of that's leading them to kind of the next thing, and some of it's kind of following up and showing them things that are really innovative and working and even proven, if you will. How do you discern what's innovative? You know, like a story that's innovative, so something gets dropped on your desk, you're like, how do you know that it's really, truly innovative? And then how do you find those stories?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, and that's something we're constantly sending feelers out for. And that's really where our education committee and our annual meeting planning committee came in this year, because they are on the front line. They're in the day-to-day, and when the conference proposals came across these groups and were vetted by these groups, they could tell us, this is really special. This is something our members need to know about. And we really need to promote this. And perhaps the speaker could, you know, also speak in a webinar or write an article for our journal. We really need to get the word out about this new idea or this new practice. So that was really key to developing the program for this conference, but also help us, you know, as a staff team, build relationships with the people who are really doing special work that we need to bring to the forefront for the community to benefit from.
So I really like the way that you work with members, and obviously I love what you're doing with startups and really innovative, you know, the companies that are out there doing really interesting work that, you know, they could never afford an exhibit space or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
How do you normally, what's the perfect relationship with a vendor, a software vendor, and let's just take somebody randomly out of thin air, SuccessFactors, or Cornerstone On Demand? What's the preferred way of working with these cats?
You know, we're partners in this space. We're, you know, practitioners of solutions. And so we are collaborators. And we, you know, welcome our exhibitors to not only our exhibit hall, but some exciting ways to showcase what they're doing and what's new and what's innovative at our conference. We're also interested in, our members will see this coming soon, offering our vendors an opportunity to speak to IRA members about how they solve particular problems. And we're putting together some challenges that we're going to send out to our vendor community and ask them to tell us if they would like to respond to this challenge with how their solution would solve this problem. And then they would have a webinar to dedicate to how they would solve this challenge. And we're looking at putting together a few series because that's the crux of the relationship and where our collaboration is. Our HR and our HRIS professionals have want to solve problems with technology, and our vendors are creating these great platforms and these features and analytics programs that can help us solve problems and make better decisions. So we need to come together in that space, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, of the professionals bringing their objectives and the solution provider saying, here's how we can meet that for you, and here's how we can take you to the next level of success. So we look for ways to do that at our conference, to make those introductions with new and innovative tech providers, and also to bridge that to now education throughout the year so that those solution providers have an opportunity to showcase what they're doing and how they can meet the challenges that our members are facing. So I'm really excited about some of the new things that we'll be doing to really develop those relationships for our members.
Nice. Well, tell me where you're taking education next year, or what's, you know, obviously you've been in there for a couple of months. You got a big giant trade show coming up, and I'm sure you're kind of laying down some foundational stuff for next year. What would you like to do if you had your druthers and you had all the budget and you had everything you'd want? What do you?
I had all the tech solutions I wanted.
I had everything. See, I'm just gonna make it. Oh, you got everything. There's no excuses. What would you do with education for IRA?
Well, I'll tell you what we are doing and where I see education going, which is answer to your question, what would I love to do? What we are doing is we're putting down a thoughtful plan for how we're going to deliver the content that IRA is dedicated to across our live, online, and print education vehicles. So Workforce Solutions Review, our online webinars, in the future, which is in the works, an online learning program, a multimedia online learning program, and then our live opportunities, such as our annual conference and our Workforce Analytics Forum. Our next big event is the Workforce Analytics Forum, and that's going to be in March. We're going to be publicizing when and where that'll be taking place at our annual conference. So the attendees who are there will be the first to know when the Analytics Forum is going to be. And that forum is a 2.5-day event where we're going to focus on analytics. We're going to touch on some of the fundamentals. We're going to dig into cases about what's working, not working, how to make analytics successful in organizations. We're going to do some data visualization workshop, which is going to be phenomenal. And we're going to talk about where the leading edge of analytics is and what analytics can do, not only to push forward the profession, but to raise the profile HR and HRIS professionals in being partners at the table for making better decisions in organizations. So I'm super excited about that event. And then, as I said, yeah, we're putting together a really robust webinar series for next year. We have our regular monthly education programs, but we'll have the solution provider webinars where they'll be meeting our challenges, our professionals' challenges. And then, like I said, my hope is that we'll be in the market for a learning management system and provide some really robust online training that will support our HRIP certification program, which I'm really excited about, and then provide some other fundamental offerings that are just in high demand for professionals that find themselves now making tech decisions or in, you know, an analytics position for the first time, or they find that their job responsibilities just stretch to extend towards talent management. We'll offer some of those courses that will really help them establish, you know, strong programs and make wise decisions with the technology that they have. Does that answer your question? I mean, there's a lot going on, and we're really excited about where education is going at IRAM.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, I got to ask you about some failure and overcoming failure. So let's do this. Biggest failure you think you've had, and be objective, you know, as best you can. And really what the audience cares most about here is, how'd you overcome it? Like, what was the context? You know, what happened? You know, how'd you get there? And then you made it out of it. So what'd you learn and how'd you get?
Oh, man. Failure. I'd have to say that it was actually an education and tech program that I put together, and we didn't have the right technology to accomplish what we wanted to in this education program. This was for another organization that I've worked with prior. And it was disappointing because we had these, you know, great ideals for how this program would really be effective and would be engaging and be fun, and, you know, the participants would have, you know, online access to these amazing experts in the space, and it wasn't utilized. If you build it, they will come is not always true. And the reason for that was because we didn't have the right technology to meet our objectives. And it was a great lesson learned to not only prepare for the next season for this program and institute the types of features and runway for our learners in order to really capture the experience that we had intended for them. But, you know, being in a position to really stand firm on this is what is required, these are the solutions that are required in order to deliver upon this promise. And so I did survive. I'm here with you today. And definitely informs decisions for future online and hybrid learning programs, making those technology solutions for delivering.
You know, that's a common failure in learning and training development professionals. And a lot of it has to do with technology. We think that that's going to solve a majority of the problems, and really we find that it's a content problem. And I would tell you, it's not as often now as it was a decade ago that LMS failures were really about content. If you know, just putting the technology in place, going, okay, we have this wonderful technology. You can make your own content. You can do this. But if it didn't have content in there, you know, no one would use it, right? Like that.
Right.
That's a common. Now a lot of those cats come to market and they've got subscriptions. They've got content baked in. Yeah, you could add content, but really you can also leverage the content that's in it as well. So that, you know what, first of all, that's not a huge failure. I'm glad you learned it. I love the build it and they will come, because I think I've made that. Shit, I've made that mistake at least 10 times. So that one's familiar to me. Well, listen, let's do this. Tracy, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. And I want everyone to make sure that they follow the hashtag as we roll up to IREM. And it's IREM ETC, Education Technology Community, ETC. So make sure you follow that over the next couple of weeks, and especially while the conference is going on, because it will get a lot of traction then as well. And, Tracy, we should do a post-show, maybe in October or November, and do a post-show to where we can learn what what went down, all these things that the great ideas that you put in front of the audience, what stuck, what didn't stick, etc. So, and it's Friday.
That'd be great. Trace.
The good news is it's Friday. The even better news is it's a long long weekend. So thanks to everyone for listening to Drive Through HR. Thanks, Tracy, for you coming on. Thanks to IREM. And we're going to roll out with a little Sublime. Thanks, everybody.
Early in the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason. Things went wrong. Got to.